All right, good morning. Welcome to Catalyst this morning. So glad you're here. If you didn't know, we have designated the month of March as a month of fasting. All church fasting, it's not too late for you to join in the fasting party and fast. So you can actually sign up through the website or if you get the church updates. In fact, if you don't get the church updates, please go down to the greeting booth or come see, gosh, where is DM? She's not here. Who's doing the greeting booth? Who's manning the greeting booth today? Mimo, stand up, Mimo. Stand up. There's Mimo. And get on the update, because that's how you get all the information to all our events, what's going on. And so, and please, we're encouraging everyone to fast, if you're able to, fast one day, 24 hours. Kind of our Catalyst general rule of thumb is, whatever you can get through a straw is permissible. So I was fasting this week, and I just had a craving, since you could drink, I had a craving for a milkshake. Not a good idea. I won't say anymore. But yeah, please join us in the fasting. Also, during the month, this month, while we're doing fasting, we want to encourage you to join in with prayer and worship. So I encourage you to come Saturday morning, the next two Saturdays. We have worship time. It was formerly called Cafe Fuego, but one of the worship leaders at Fuego, Ray Yoshinaga, the Lord woke him up at 4 in the morning and spoke to him about Fuego and said, I want the name to be changed because we're in a new season. I want it to be Holy Fire. So like, because Fuego means fire, and then so Ray looked it up, and he thought, oh, I think the name should be Fuego Santo, Holy Fire. Unlike Elena's events, even though it's called Fuego Santo, we don't do it in Spanish, but please come and experience the fire, and it's a really good time. It's Saturday mornings, usually Saturday mornings, every Saturday except the first Saturday from 9 to 10:30, so come join us for that. Well, today we are continuing our series on the serving challenge. Today's topic is on, all A's, right? Ability. You know, this past week, I read a story, and it was of a woman that thought her grandmother was a cheapskate. She always thought her grandmother was a cheapskate because she was just always just wear used clothes, reuse her tea bags. She even recycled birthday cards. And so she joked that, and even within the family, they joked that her grandma was allergic to spending. And so that was her reputation. Well, when she passed, they were looking through her stuff, and they came across one of her notebooks. And the title at the top of the notebook simply said, Lives I've Saved. And when she started reading through that notebook, her legs buckled, and she was shocked because all her life, she had been helping to fund cancer treatments for children whose families couldn't afford to pay the bills. Each page showed a child's name, their diagnosis, and the treatment costs she covered. She saved 47 lives. 47 lives by reusing tea bags and never buying much, anything new for herself. You know, in this day and age, and in the Serving Challenge book, Pastor Zach, he talks about, you know, it's very easy in this age to get serving or compassion fatigue because we're just bombarded. I think since the internet and since the information age, it has expanded our world. Because before, right, people that were sick or people were in trouble, you would just know it was just those people you physically knew, right? People that were right around you. But now with the internet, we're exposed to the world, all the concerns within the world, all the needs within the world. And it could easily get overwhelming, tiring and even paralyzing. Some of you may be called to impact large amounts of people, even nations, even people groups that are in need or hurting. But for many, that's overwhelming. For most, I think, God calls us to serve, use our abilities to serve, but serve the one. Just serve the one. The one that's around you. The one that's in front of you. Just serve one. The grandma served 47 ones. That's the power of serving others. That's the power of loving others. Today we're talking about ability. And for some, serving, the only ability required is an able body and to be present. For some types of serving, that's all we need. The ability required is just to be available, just to be an able body. On the other hand, some serving I think we're called to do is in line with who we are, our calling, our unique calling, our gifting, our passions, our interests, who we are as individual, unique people. And so today I'm going to cover both. I'm going to cover both. And let's start with the first type of serving. And I'll call it, this is just serving, just being available to serve. Just being an able-bodied person. I'll call this kind of serving, serving the family. Because all that's required is your willingness to try. Let's look at Galatians 6, 9 through 10. It says this. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. But look at this. Especially to those in the family of faith. So God loves it when his children, when we help and serve one another. You know, I know when my kids were growing up, even now, but when my kids were growing up, I loved it. Parents, didn't you love it when you saw your kids helping each other, serving each other, being kind to one another? Even now, as a grandparent, when I see my grandboys like doing little things to help each other or to serve each other, oh, that's just the best when you see that. Same for God. Same for God. As our Heavenly Father, he loves it when his children are serving and helping and looking out for the interests of one another. And so in our church, we want to do that. We want to follow the word and serve one another and help one another. And one way we can do this, I'm calling family chores. Because, you know, like in your own household, there's things you want to encourage your kids to do that's in their wheelhouse. That's in their passion. You want to develop their giftings and all of that. That's good. There's other things that, hey, this is part of this family. We want you to serve, right? For example, doing the dishes doesn't require a special gift. You can't say, oh, no, I don't have the gift of dish doing, right? Right? Or taking out the trash, or, you know, doing the gardening, or anything, vacuuming. That doesn't require any special ability or gifting. That's something everyone can do. And as part of the family, you're expected to do. That's part of serving one another. What if you asked your kid, one of your children, hey, can you clean up your room? They responded, that's not my calling, that's your calling, Mom. Ooh, right? Look at all these verses where the Lord, right, tells us to serve one another. Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom. We're free. We're free in Christ. We're free from sin. We have an unhindered relationship with God. We are holy, righteous, all those good things about our day. We're free, brothers and sisters. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. You are free. You have choices. But use your choice to serve each other. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him. This is how we show our love to God, by caring for other believers, as you still do. When we love one another, we are showing love to our Father, to our Lord, to our Savior. Romans 2:12-10. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy. Ooh, that's from the Word of God, right to the heart. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. Look at this. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. No explanation needed for this verse. The word speaks clearly. Help one another. Serve one another. Finally, John 13:35, I think this sums it up. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's the distinguishing feature of the family of God. The body of Christ is loving one another. And just by loving one another, it says people that need to know the Lord will see that and be drawn to it, and see God's love moving in their midst. God wants us to love and serve all the people around us, but especially love and serve one another. So, family chores. Family chores is a way we can serve one another. And we want everyone that calls Catalyst your home, we want you to participate in at least one family chore. Okay? One family chore. So here's an example. Just you'll see this at the ministry fair we'll have in 2 weeks. Here are just some simple, all you need to do is able-bodied, be willing. Okay, I'll volunteer for that. So church security team, cleanup team, event security, maintenance volunteer, registration table, setup team, special event support, visitor follow-up team, welcome team, greeters, and worship service ushers. Simple ways to serve the body of Christ, right? And we want everyone to do at least one of these if you call Catalyst your home. All right, clear? Everyone does family chores. Part of the family, we do chores to show our love for one another and obey the word of God. Okay. All right. Now let's go on to the second part, Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so we would walk in them. Okay, so I'm going to break this verse down into the three parts. It says at first, for the first part, we are God's workmanship. You know other translations? You know how they translate workmanship? Masterpiece. Masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. Look at this picture. Everyone know who this is or what this is? Is that, who is that? Mona Lisa. Probably one of the greatest, I think I saw, what are the top 10 masterpieces of all time? This painting came up number one. Just face painting always came up number one. You know what estimated value of the Mona Lisa is today? Estimate, and there's really no value because it's off the market. It's actually owned publicly by, I think, the country of Italy or the city or the country. But people have estimated what they think the value of the Mona Lisa is today. Estimated to be over $1 billion. $1 billion. This masterpiece was created by a very brilliant artist, right? Leonardo da Vinci. He's just a man. He's just a man. You were created by the ultimate, greatest being in the entire universe. This Mona Lisa, they say it's worth over $1 billion. What are you worth? If you are God's masterpiece. Masterpiece. Psalm 139, 13 through 14. This is from David. He's writing this, but it's a prayer to God. He's talking to God. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. And look at this. And my soul knows it very well. David says, you formed me. Even in the womb, you were knitting me and forming me and creating me according to your plans and purpose for me. I am wonderfully made. I am amazing. And my soul, the deep part of who I am as a human, knows it well. I know that I know that I know I am wonderfully made. I feel like the Spirit prompting us. We have to declare that for ourselves. We have to, everyone stand up, okay? Everyone stand up. And we are going to not just say, we are going to shout with conviction. You are going to say, I am wonderfully made. All right? I want to feel it. I want to feel it, the conviction. Because that's how David said it, right? He goes, oh my, it's like he was talking to the Lord about who he is, and the Lord opened his eyes and opened his heart, and he goes, oh my gosh, you are the God of the universe. You made me. How valuable am I? I am wonderfully made. All right? So we're going to say it. Ready? Okay, let's pray. Holy Spirit, come upon each and every one of us. Stir deep in our soul. Awaken your spirit and our true identity as sons and daughters of the King. Stir that in us, Lord, and have it come out so we declare it from our hearts, our souls, with conviction, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, 1, 2, 3. I am wonderfully made. Again, 1, 2, 3. I am wonderfully made. High five the next person. Yeah, you are wonderfully made. You are wonderfully made. You are wonderfully made. Mr. and Mrs. Wonderful. Mr. and Mrs. Wonderful right here. Mr. and Miss Wonderful right here. So next time, when you wake up, You're brushing your teeth, you're fixing your hair, you're putting on your makeup, you're looking in the mirror. When you look in that mirror, you say, you are wonderfully made in the Lord, because of the Lord. Because you are wonderfully made. All right, so we are his workmanship. We are his masterpieces. Secondly, the verse continues, God, we were created in Christ for good works. The moment you received Christ and committed yourself to following him, you became a brand new, spiritually alive, resurrected person inside. I like this term. I read this term in a book. It said, we are co-resurrected with Christ. I like that. I like that a lot, because when Christ died, we died, our old self, our sinful self died with him. And then when he was raised from the dead, we were raised with him. Everyone who has put their faith in Jesus and committed to following him as Lord, we were raised with him. So we are co-resurrected. You were co-resurrected inside. You are united with God. You know why God says, I will never leave you or forsake you? Because you're united as one with him. The moment you received Christ, you became one with him, with the Holy Spirit. So you might feel like, I'm alone. God is not with me. He said, what are you talking about? We're joined. You cannot get rid of me. Wherever you go, I'm going. Automatically, because we are one spiritually. It says you are in the heavenlies. Your spirit is in the heavenly, seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father. So that's what happened when you received Christ. And so the Bible says, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. It doesn't say you are becoming the light, or you have to grow to be the light, or you have to increase your wattage, or whatever. It says you are the light. Why doesn't it seem like we're shining then? It's because we got, like that other message, we got that old Clark Kent suit still on. We don't really believe who we really are. But we're shining, we're glowing with the glory of God inside, and we just have to take off that old suit. Got to just take that off. Because you are the light of the world. You and I are the light of the world. And part of that being the light is you have been given and created unique, and you have special spiritual gifts and abilities to shine an aspect of God to the people around you. 1 Peter 4:10, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. 1 Corinthians 12:7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Last Sunday night, we had our first official healing service. And I think it went well. We prayed, the ministry teams prayed for over 40 people. And some got healing. Some were just blessed. You could feel them, they're crying. You could see them being touched by the Lord. And we're still working on it. We still have little tweaks to make, adjustments. But I was so happy, excited, because you could just sense the presence of God in the room. And especially for those who are outside of the church. We had many that were outside of church and a bunch that are not Christians. But because it's a healing service and they need healing, people came. And I thought it was great. I had so much fun that night because I got to be like the host. I was like the spiritual maitre d'. Me and Jerry were with the... And then Pastor Dean, he came and he talked about and he shared with the team. He says, we're like the Amazon delivery boy or girl, right? We just come and bring the package. And right, people aren't necessarily waiting for the, you are waiting for the Amazon delivery person, but you're not waiting for them. They come and they go and you don't even see them a lot of times. But you're waiting for what they bring. what they carry. You're waiting for that package, right? And as the host, we had numbers when everyone came in, first come, first serve, right? We gave them a number, and I was calling out. I said, well, you know, we should put one of those like bakery signs with numbers. You take a little tag, calling, now serving, number three, right, whatever. So they came on up, and then, you know, as a spot opened up, I would go around and think, okay, who's number 11? Number 11, someone raise their hand, go. And I would get to go, and after a while, I really got into it, right? I would get going and then usher them and be like, your package is waiting. God has this package waiting for you. And one girl, she was a little bit older woman. I felt like the Lord said, put out your arm, right? Put out my arm. And she took my arm. It's like escorting her. And she's laughing. It's fine. And I go, you know, your package is awaiting. Jesus has a package for you. The prayer people, they're carrying a package from God. Right? They're carrying a package from God. And I go, God prepared that for you before the beginning of time. Just for this moment, he wants to bless you. That was so much fun. I had so much fun doing that and, you know, having a good time with people. But it's true. God created you special, unique. He has given gifts to you. He has given you experience and some hard experiences, but he wants to redeem those hard experiences so you can help those who are going through that same situation. And he has gifted you, and you have a unique personality. And yes, you might be like an Amazon delivery person, but you carry the package inside of you. The package that people need. The touch from God. The love of God that they're waiting for. He made you unique. Each of us. You might have the same gift of another person, but the combination of gifts and experiences and passion and your unique talent, that combination makes you unique. And you carry something of the Lord. Right now, I'm going to call up Evasia, because Evasia's calling, Evasia's passion is to help people uncover and discover how you are uniquely made, what package God has given you to carry, who you are, and just help people, help us to step into that unique calling God has for us. So she's going to come up and share, and yeah, so.
As I was coming here today, it was interesting, the verse that was up here was Psalm 139, and that's the verse that came to mind for me, and I was like, oh, this is just so awesome. Some of you guys don't know that I originally went to Cerritos Baptist Church, and I was one of the first people that signed up to come to Catalyst, and then the Lord said no. He said, I want you to stay at least a year back at Cerritos Baptist Church, and during that year, I taught a class to every small group called Go Deep, which was basically what Barry's sharing about right now. And I've had that passion for years. And I just asked Barry today, how many years has Catalyst been going? And it's been 20 years. And I have still had that same passion. And we had a team, Jeannie and Henry and John and Anna and Sam. We had done Destiny by Design, and then we had Ignite. And it just never kind of took off. Jeannie's, if you ever need someone to help go through your wandering map, Jeannie is awesome at that. And she's been such an encouragement to me. But Barry, this last year, we're neighbors actually. So I had really felt like I went to Mariners during COVID. And during that time, I felt like the Lord said, I want you to create something similar to Ignite or Destiny by Design. And it was called Thrive. And I took the things that we did with Destiny by Design, Ignite, and I just put them together. And Barry said, make it your own. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to do it on my own. I like doing it with a team. I've always done things with a team. I'm an athlete. I do things with a team. And that was my struggle. And it took me almost a year to do this, but this is 20 years in the making. But it's because of people with me. So I just want to give you a quick synopsis of what Thrive is, because it's an acronym. T stands for themes. There's things, like Barry was sharing, both good and bad, that have happened that kind of give you an indication what your passions are and help you have either empathy for people or a passion. You go, this really is at my heart. I'd love to do this. But then the second thing is hesitations. What stops you? So one of the things that stopped me is it's been 20 years that I haven't been. And I almost was like, should I go to another church? Should I give up? And but people like Jody was like, no, you're not giving up. And Jody and I, we actually went to Colorado one year, and we did Destiny by Design. And so hesitations. Jody's team, the Healing and Wholeness team, they really, really help you go through this. They partnered with me, her and Agnes. But there are things the enemy does not want you to walk in, and one of the things is your calling. So we talk about that, because you can't do any of this if you let hesitations get in your way. The enemy wants to stop you, so we deal with that. Next is revelations. Barry was talking about gifts. We don't talk about just spiritual gifts, but like your strength. It's similar to Strength Finder, if some of you have done that. It's a real easy one. I love it, and I call it your spiritual superpowers. The next one is identity. I got this from Sam. Sam was here a few weeks ago. We talk about who you are in Christ. The next one is values. Values, it was really important when I did it with John Hino's group. These guys are all right here. We found that the thing that we found with your values is the thing that drives you crazy the most and is also a revelation of your values, because it's pushing against your values. So it kind of propels you or it stops you. And then the next one, and this is the most important, is engagement. What are you going to do with it? I don't want you just to learn the concepts, but what I want you to do is actually take one step forward. And so I was thinking, I can't remember, when I started to try something new, this was for moments like this. So when you start doing something, I want to give you permission. If you step out and go, I want to try something, and just have one other person do it with you, give me a call. And we will put it on to try something new so you're not doing it alone. We're going to be starting Thrive as a women's summer Bible study. I've talked to Mimo. We're going to work some things out, and Dale. We'll put some announcements out and everything. But just to give you a heads up, we'll start in May. We haven't set the exact date yet. And then eventually, after we go through the women, we'll have a men's group too. So we want everyone to go through it, because your calling is God's calling and fingerprint on you. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Ivesha. I'm really excited about this, because I feel like this has been a missing piece in our church. And it's actually aligned with our mission statement. Our mission statement is to be all God created and called you to be in Christ. Helping people to be all God created and called you to be in Christ. And so we have just serving the body, family chores, but then we have, but discover and uncover who God truly made you uniquely to be, and step into God's calling for you. And so the final end of this verse, it says, which God prepared beforehand so we would walk in them. You know what this says? As you step into who God made you to be, God has set it up for you. God has laid out the red carpet. God has serving it up on a silver platter. That doesn't mean it doesn't take effort. That doesn't mean you're going to make obstacles. But he's prepared you, and he has the assignment for you, and he has the people already lined up that he wants to use you to encourage, to bless, to bring to salvation, to heal, whatever it is. And so you just have to start taking those steps and walk into it, and God will start unfolding it before you. I have a little example. I'm going to call up Eric to help me with this example. I know how much Eric loves to come on stage, and you know Eric, so talkative and everything. But I asked Eric to do this little, object lesson demonstration, and so I'm going to ask him to pound these two nails into the piece of wood. Okay, so go ahead, Eric. Use the first tool to pound it in. Come on, Eric. Put the muscle into it. Wait, okay. Let me have that. That example right there, that's like how many people have lived their whole lives. That's like how some of you have lived your lives. You've just settled for something and then just been doing something because your parents told you to do it, or because you think that's who you're supposed to be, or you think that's what others think of you, or you don't see yourself of who God made you to be. So you think you don't really know you're a saw. And so all your life, you're trying to pound a nail being a saw. That's so sad. The saw never finds its true purpose, right? But then what about this? What if you were some of you are hammers. You were made to drive the nail into the wood. And when you start to uncover and recognize who you are, that you're a hammer, this is what I'm made for, and you start walking in that, feels good. Bam. Bam. Yeah. Feels good. Okay, thanks, Eric. Let's give him a hand. By the way, we just worked this out. I feel like the Lord's leading for Evasia. She's going to start with a Thrive for Women first, and then she's going to do a Thrive for Men. And as we were talking, Evasia brought this up, and I said, yeah, Evasia, for the men's version of Thrive, it's got to be something like, you've got to include some like adventure challenges. Things like that. Things like, that men would thrive and most men would thrive and, right? And so she says, she loves that too. She loves those. So men, right? We're not going to be in the kitchen with aprons on baking, right? That's good. No judgment. If that's your calling, that's fine. But, right? Men and women are different. God created us different. And so Evasia is going to try to tailor it for that. Discover, work at, be intentional, search for, seek the Lord at who he made you to be. So you could find your purpose and be aligned with that. This whole past week, I knew we were doing this topic, I was trying to think of, who's someone in our church, is someone I know that, man, they know their purpose, and they're just stepped into it, and then you could just see it aligning, and then awesome fruit comes out of it. And I there's different people, but it wasn't just the right story or example or illustration. And then I was at our small group, and someone shared with me a story. And I thought, oh my gosh, thank you, Jesus. That's the story. That's the illustration. And I thought, this is perfect. And it was someone in our church. I don't know if you knew this. We have a living hero in our midst. Someone that goes to our church, they were perfectly aligned. They used their gifts, and they were the hero. You want to see who this person is? Right here. Tim and Stephanie Hino's three-year-old daughter, Brinley. She's a hero. And I couldn't wait to tell this story. So the other night, recently, this past week, the other night, Stephanie got home with the kids, and I don't know where Tim was. Tim, were we working or something, or at an event? So Stephanie comes home, and I'm not going to go into the details, but she got locked out. She was locked out of her house, and she didn't have a key to get in. She didn't have she didn't have the key. She couldn't get into the house. So she walked all around the house, and it was dark, and it was late. She walked all around the house. She tried to look for an open window, or a window was ajar. The only window she saw cracked open was a window on the second floor. And she thought, no, this is too dicey. This is too dangerous. I'm not going to go up there. I'm not going to have my boys go up there. So what can I do? So they looked around the house, and the one thing they saw, there was a little doggy door. There was a little doggy door. Let's show it. Let's show the little doggy door. Right there. And that doggy door is tiny. And there was this like sliding door down. And so Stephanie had to like jimmy that little door up. And then she goes, the only one who was small enough to fit through the door was Brinley, little Brinley. And then she goes, she didn't even know she was going to do it because she goes, that door's nasty around it. It's all dirty and stuff. But she opened the door and Brinley goes, yeah, I'll do it. So Brinley crawls through the doggy door, goes to the sliding glass door, unlatches it, and lets everyone in. I thought, it's a hero. She's a hero. You know what I thought? She's the only one small enough to fit it. And yet, she was old enough and smart enough and tall enough to know how to go around and unlatch the door to let everyone in. She was perfect for the job, for the assignment. You are a perfect 10 in something. God has gifted you. God has given you experiences. God has given you passion. God has designed your knowledge and personality, and He has laid it out for you to walk in it. So let's all find the unique gifts God made us to walk in. So we will shine. And let's help one another discover those gifts so we as a church can thrive to be the light, the city on a hill that could bless and serve and help others with the love of Jesus. Let's bow forward in prayer. Lord, you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You're beyond space and time. You are Almighty God. You are all powerful and all knowing. You are perfect and holy in all your ways, and you have created each one of us. Made in your very image and restored to that image because of Jesus. Because of his death and resurrection, we are not only saved and redeemed, we are co-resurrected with him. We are holy and blameless. We have every spiritual gift in the heavenly places, as Ephesians 1 says, available to us. We shine your glory already. But help us, Lord, to truly know and believe so we can say a resounding, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and my soul knows it well. Thank you, Lord. Would you release and unleash each and every one of us, Lord? So we will not be frustrated saws, but we will be effective hammers in the right place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, as an act of service right now, just by being willing and available, we could offer our worship, our service of love to you, and express with love and gratitude who you are, and gratitude for all you've done for us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.